Joining me now is Kelly Bell, and Kelly is the Master Recycler Coordinator for Lane County. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. That's a mouthful.
It is. It's a mouthful. Now, we've talked before, but it was probably, around 2018 when things started changing a bit for the recycling program.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of stressed over time, and my wife is even more stressed than I am because she wants to recycle everything.
Yes.
And I have to tell her, no, you can't do that. They don't want that. And she's like, why? And I'm like, well, I'm not 100% sure. I know it has something to do with some changes in the people accepting our recycling.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with the system right now?
Right. Well, so many things.
is that too big of a question? Should we break it down?
No, it's a great starting point, I think. Oregon has a very strong recycling ethic, resource conservation ethic. I think it's part of our DNA. And we were accustomed to the way we were recycling, which had evolved to putting everything, every type of household recycling, packaging.
So commingling.
Commingling in one container. And that is an efficient way. Probably the most efficient way
for the homeowner or for the recycler.
For the whole system.
Okay.
To get that material to a sorting facility and have it then separated out into the different commodities. Because although in Oregon we have a lot of land, you know, we're a large, geographically large state, and in Lane County we're a geographically large county. Our county is as big as some states. We're not very densely populated, and so it feels like a lot of material, but in the scheme of things, we don't generate a lot of material. And so to make that work economically, you need a lot of material. And so recycling facilities are centralized. And the further you live away from that central location, such as Florence, such as Madras, the more costly it is to get your recycling somewhere where it's going to be legitimately sorted and separated and recycled. So what happened in 2018 was primarily the rural communities lost their ability to recycle plastic at all, really abruptly. It was very abrupt.
And it seemed like overnight almost.
Yeah, it felt like that. There wasn't much warning. And it was a conversation industry was having with themselves, and they reacted kind of last minute as well. So that's what happened in Florence. You weren't able to put any plastic whatsoever in the recycle bin for months. And we didn't know if that was going to change. Some rural communities still can't put plastic in the recycle bin. I think Mackenzie River, Oak Ridge. So we have different recycling processes in different parts of just this one county in Oregon, which is very frustrating.
I remember back in the 90s when recycling became important to me. I'm not sure when all the things started.
Right.
But I remember, you know, you'd heard things like, you know, number twos, number fours, you know, this was good, that was not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a more stricter process in what could and could not be recycled.
Yes.
And it seems like somewhere along that line, we went to, I'll just throw it all in there.
Yep.
And did that hurt?
Yes.
Simple answer, right?
Simple answer, yes. Well, there were some pretty dramatic, albeit unintended, consequences. I think in hindsight, some people could have seen this coming. But as we got more efficient on one end in terms of the collection process, and certainly increased the volume of recycling, which is important to pull more and more material out of the waste stream, that brought with it a whole host of contaminations that were genuinely unanticipated. I don't think any recycle haulers or material recovery facilities had any expectation that they were going to get garden hoses or rakes or clothing in their commingle bin.
Yeah. Why would anybody even think about that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. And anytime I talk to somebody about it, they always put it on their grandma. I don't know why. Well, you know,
my grandma
puts clothing in the recycle bin, and I can't convince her not to. I said, well, grandma, quote unquote, needs to take that to a thrift store. You know, I'm not saying it's grandma,
right,
but
right,
that's what's reported to me. Well, grandma said. And I actually have had talks, you know, Ladies at Lunch, Garden Club, sororities, where I talk about, you know, what is accepted and what isn't. And, you know, somebody will tell me, a senior, a retiree will tell me, well, you know, I put these clamshells in the combing. I said, well, you know, those don't actually belong there. And someone who is very positively disposed to recycling and wants to recycle all they can, I got a really sharp retort one time. Well, they'll figure it out. They need the work. You know, that was a response I got back. It was kind of a defensive response. It's like, well, that actually doesn't work that way. It's not helpful to have things in the recycle stream that don't fit. It's a burden. It has to be trashed anyway. Instead of going to, you know, Goshen, which is 10 miles from my office, it goes, you know, to Arlington, which is on the Columbia Gorge. That's not efficient in terms of trash disposal.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
I'm assuming that the glass is a very recyclable product.
It is.
And plastic, there's some issues down the line with that.
That's true.
Why is it, I mean, was it a shortage of oil? I mean, I used to be able to pick up a jar of olive oil and know that it was in a glass container and feel confident that I was using a good glass product in that. And then all of a sudden, everybody went from glass to plastic.
Yep.
And I don't understand it. If it's as a recyclable a product, were we short on glass? I mean, I wouldn't think so.
That is a conversation about impacts versus attributes. And what I mean by that is...
it's cheaper for the manufacturer to make it out of plastic?
It is. That's one.
That's one.
But it's also less costly to transport something that is lighter weight.
That's true. I can see that.
So glass is heavy, and it's significantly heavier than plastic, and the fuel costs... the manufacturing costs and the fuel costs to transport are higher. And so a lot of things have gone to plastic. And number one, plastic. But then how do you get that recycled? So if for example, someone wants to put my avocado oil and my olive oil in a bottle, oil is really tough to wash out of plastic. Even though it's recyclable plastic, I think the company should pay a premium to get that material recycled.
Well, in a perfect world, I'm sure that would be. And I understand that there's people out there that want to save the environment that would actually probably argue that, well, if it's cheaper and more fuel efficient to send something lighter, then we're actually doing a benefit there.
Mm-hmm.
But the truck's going down the road no matter what.
It is.
What
do you measure? How do you measure? What is most important?
What is the greatest impact?
Mm-hmm. And, exactly.
Nowadays, how can someone tell, you know, what's recyclable and what's not? Now, I understand, like, you can recycle cardboard all day long as long as it's not a cardboard pizza container.
Right.
Because food actually touched it.
Right.
Which I'm not sure why that's the case if you're, I guess because they stick it in a bin and they wet it all down and
There's arguments about that. There's been a company wanting to promote the recycling of pizza boxes. And, oh, we can handle it. And our local recyclers are going, well, I don't think so. So, you know, there are disagreements within the same industries about the recyclability of certain items. And it has to do with the capacity. You know, what is your capacity? What is your infrastructure? What is your equipment?
Well, then you have cardboard that has a wax coating on it.
Right.
Now, that's another issue altogether, right?
That's right. There's less of that. Now what's replaced the wax coating is a layer of plastic in between two pieces of cardboard, which that's a whole other challenge.
A whole other issue there.
Yeah. So in order, we're really clever about making things that work to keep food safe and fresher longer. And that's excellent. And that is its own... environmental benefit. The longer you can keep food safe and edible, the better. However, when you make clever packaging in order to get that done, now what?
Are there not conversations going between producers, retailers, and consumers on a regular basis to talk about what would work best? Are producers just going out and doing their thing and not looking at the possible ramifications of that?
That is an excellent question. Producers, manufacturers, fillers are working based on their most important needs. And their most important needs...
how to keep the cost down?
Well, also preserving the food, You know, that's a big one, making sure that it stays shelf stable and attractive as long as possible, with, you know, the least amount of preservatives possible. Packaging is great for that, and there have been a lot of improvements. The top line for a food manufacturer, a packaging manufacturer, might not necessarily be its recyclability. And not only that, recyclability might not be the most important thing in a packaging, depending on what it is. And I'll give you one example. You've seen the brick boxes of soup and soy milk and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. And drink boxes, same thing.
Yeah, exactly right. That's a multi-layer packaging, which is very difficult to recycle. And I couldn't tell you anybody in Oregon that can successfully recycle that and extract the really pure paper and also make use of the plastic coating and also make use of the foil. There are other countries that perhaps, you know, have plants that do that, but I'm not aware of one close by us that can do that. But the recyclability, even though it is recyclable, the recyclability isn't the most important piece of that packaging. One of the things that's true about Tetra Pak and is so amazing is that you can store delicate food shelf-stable for months without having to refrigerate it. That's the benefit of that packaging. You can ship it across country. You don't have to use a refrigerated truck. You can put it on a regular shelf. You don't have to refrigerate it when it's in the store. And so the food is very long-lasting, and you never have to refrigerate it until you actually open it. So the benefit of the environmental benefit of that packaging may significantly outweigh whether or not it's recyclable. Because where we dispose of things, we don't burn our trash. We dispose of our trash in a landfill, and it's lined on the bottom. And when it's closed, it's lined on the top, and so that garbage is sequestered. So any harm that packaging has done prior to getting to the landfill, it's all happened prior to getting to the landfill. Once it's in the landfill, it's secure and safe. But it's very visible when people have recycling or trash in their house. It's a visible reminder of this is an inefficiency in the system because this is a waste product. You know, when we all lived closer to farms, there was no such thing as a waste product.
Well, your corn didn't come in a can then.
That's right.
You know, neither did your green beans, neither did your steak.
Right. And if you didn't eat your green beans, you fed it to your dog under the table or the chickens got it.
Right.
You know, there was no concept of waste in the same way. You know, a flour sack became underwear, became a dress. That's not the way we live now. The excess packaging is how we live now. And it's just a visible reminder to us. And it brings attention to the issue. And most people want things to get recycled as much as possible. That's not always the answer.
Well, I think I asked this question, and then I asked you another question, so we didn't really get to it. How do we know what's recyclable?
Mm. When you look at plastic, I'll just use plastic for an example. Plastic almost always has a number inside an arrow. And that signals to people, doesn't it, that that is recyclable. Well, that's never been true.
I was going to say, at some level, the different numbers have nothing to do with whether it's recyclable.
It doesn't, but that's not commonly understood. Hmm. Over time, that symbol has come to represent recyclability to a large group of people. And so part of this—
In other words, they see the arrow, but the number doesn't correspond in their brain to—
Well, and why are you supposed to figure out chemistry? Why are you supposed to know what is a one and what is a two and what is recyclable? I mean, is that our responsibility, really? I don't really think it is. I mean, I've been an educator in this realm since 2008, and it doesn't stick. It doesn't stick.
It seems like it would be so much easier to put on there, recycle this, don't recycle this.
Yep.
I mean, yep. You know, for the dummies like us that forget or not, weren't sure or
well, it's not being
understand.
Done. Everybody wants to do the right thing. Yeah. Everybody wants to do the right thing. I think part of the new the excitement of the new recycling legislation is instead of having recycling one way at your curb in Florence, one way at the transfer station, which is different, and something different altogether in Portland. I mean, I know there are people from here that take some recycling things that they can't put in their recycle bin to Portland.
Wow.
That's cuckoo that we have to go to those lengths, right?
Yeah.
But if the entire state of Oregon had a single list, a more predictable recycling stream, then whether you live in Madras or whether you live in Lapine or whether you live on the Gorge, everybody has the same recycling system, the same things go in the bin. It's much easier to educate. So when you move from community to community, things are the same. And with that predictability, you can build a recycling market.
Well, and you're also encouraging more recycling because people then aren't as apt to go, well, I'm not sure what to do. I'm just throwing this in the trash.
Right.
So, you know, you do have that if you do have that list.
Well, and you might have less people going the other direction, which has been a problem for years as well. I don't know if it's recyclable, but I'm going to put it in the recycle bin anyway and let somebody else figure that out.
Let them deal with it.
Yeah. So if the list is statewide and uniform everywhere you go, I think it's going to be a lot easier to keep contamination down and bring recycling volume back up.
Now, is this still working in the legislature, or is it ready to be signed, or has it been signed?
It's ready to be signed. I don't know if it's been signed yet. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be signed. It's now in what is called the rulemaking process. So Oregon DEQ and the Environmental Quality Commission will set about making the operating rules for how to implement the legislation, which will require producers of this packaging, and not just plastic, also paper, to financially contribute to the recycling system, to modernizing our recycling system. Because right now there's only a couple players. It's you and me as ratepayers, and municipalities like City of Florence and Lane County, and the haulers like Central Coast and County Transfer. Those have been the responsible parties. Now we want to bring in the producers to help get us back to even, one, and also make improvements on our recycling system.
Now define producers so everybody knows what we're talking about.
So this would be somebody who makes your shampoo bottle, somebody who makes the laundry detergent. You know, I mean, those huge laundry detergent jugs that we haven't been able to recycle for 3 years. That's an awful lot of plastic. You know, we need to get those back in the recycling stream.
It's become a nail bin for me. I cut the
corner
out and throw nails in it. I mean, you know, but not everybody does that,
That's right.
And they can go in, but, you know, people that do a lot of stuff like that, they can have them all lined up in their shop with different bolts and nuts and things like that.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just something you can do. But, you know, certainly we would rather be able to recycle.
That's right.
We do that.
That's right.
Local governments role in this system. I mean, Florence, the city of Florence doesn't usually get that involved in stuff. It's pretty much left up to the two carriers here that are doing that. Will they have a role in this?
Well, they set the rates.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the primary role of cities, but also they have been responsible for making a list available or approving a list. I know that's been true in the city of Eugene. One of the haulers brought plastic back by negotiating with the receiver of the broker, saying, you know, we really want to recycle plastic. Can we pay a little more? Because they're paying to get the stuff recycled.
Right, they're having to get rid of it.
And so they negotiated a price whereby they could add back the bottles and jugs, similar to what Eugene does. So that was proactive on the part of the recycle hauler. But it's a really delicate balance because people only want to pay so much. And so any improvements to the system need to come from an additional set of funding. There's no more taxes. There's no more rates. I mean, we have experienced increased rates already related to this. So we're paying more and recycling less already. In order to fund any sort of improvements or make transportation costs equal for folks, additional funding needs to come in, and the legislation has provided for that. Similar to paint care, similar to e-cycles, where people who sell into the state of Oregon a particular product need to take financial responsibility for the safe disposal or recycling of that product. So if you sell computers in Oregon, you have to pay into a system that gets those recycled. If you sell paint into the state of Oregon, you have to pay into, and we pay a little surcharge now, to make sure that material is managed properly. You know, having a deposit on every single kind of container, this is the method that the legislation chose, is to assess producers of packaging based on the attributes and impacts of their packaging. Is it recyclable? Is it environmentally sound? The less sound it is, the more you would pay into a system.
where is the near future for recycling for the local community, for the individual? Where is that at now? And what can we see in the near future?
Well, we're still in a system where recycling is different depending on where you live and how you recycle. And that is primarily based on where the recycling ultimately goes, the secondary place. So in Florence, you know, one of the haulers, they have to take their recycling to International Paper, and they pay us, you know, a certain contract price to International Paper. You know, Lane County, we take ours to EcoSort, and we pay a certain price plus transportation to get our material to Portland. So there are two different recycling methods. Rural haulers can't afford a premium price on their recycling in order to get plastic recycled. And some of the rural communities haven't recycled glass at all. It's heavy. It's difficult to, even
because
though it
is per ton, right?
Infinitely recyclable. Yeah. Yeah. There's that cost. So in order to, make recycling equal across the state, more money needs to come in, and it'll come in a form of fees assessed on producers that make packaging, and based on what that packaging does in the system. They're also going to be asked to report back to give confidence that we know how those materials are being recycled. And that's a question I get all the time. And yeah, I call it myth busting. Is this really getting recycled, or is this just getting thrown away? And well,
but there have been some cases where that has been the case.
And yeah, absolutely.
Is it something to the fact where, okay, this plastics recycler gets all these plastics, it goes, mm-hmm. Well, I can recycle this, but I can't. So that just goes in the trash. Is that how that works? Or,
well, it's different in different circumstances. But in Oregon, we have a fundamental right to recycle that's equal to our ability to dispose of trash. Now, I've talked about some of the inequities, rural versus urban, that need to be, you know, addressed. But we, in Lane County, for example, I can talk about us. We're not going to accept anything for recycling that we can't in turn get recycled, because if we accept something for recycling, we're responsible by law for making sure that it is recycled. So we had to drop things over time. We dropped plant pots because our recycler would no longer take them, and we couldn't find an alternative. So we have laws in place to make sure those things are recycled. But once something gets to a material recovery facility where all this commingle comes, they have not at this point been required to say what percentage of all of that commingle is in fact recycled. And I've gone on tours of material recovery facilities, and some operators have said, you know, on game day, we get 10-12% contamination. And he's just talking about things that weren't part of the system, like milk crates or, you know, garden hoses, things like that, things that aren't on anybody's list.
Right.
But if we have no way of knowing if they dispose of things that we assumed were recyclable based on market conditions or storage or something like that. No way to know. Now, nobody's incentivized to throw things away, but if they have to pay to get recycled themselves, you know, and it's not covering their labor or their tipping, I mean, what makes sense? So there's more going to be more accountability built in further up the stream, and so we can have more confidence.
But I guess in a nutshell, it comes down to re-educating us as the general public into how, what, and why we recycle.
It's not going to take much. Once you give us clear direction, we'll be fine.
Right. If you give us a clear list.
That's right.
Then we'll know.
But we don't have that.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But we're working on it.
We are.
Kelly, thank you so much for stopping in today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Kelly Bell is the Master Recycler Coordinator for Lane County. And I always like hearing stuff like this because it gets me motivated to do the right thing. Thank you. Last but not least on the August edition of Our Town, it's Congressman Peter DeFazio. Next.